Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Bad and Booth, Booth Bad Pride.
Booth Bad Pride!
And oh my gosh, you guys, I cannot believe it. It's finally here. It's the first night of Hanukkah.
Hey, happy Hanukkah to you.
Thank you so much. Pete, who are you going to be celebrating Hanukkah with? Which superhero?
Oh, there's so many Jewish superheroes to pick from. It's kind of hard.
You don't know any of them, do you? You cannot remember a single Jewish superhero.
Oh, sure. Magneto.
That's an easy one. All
okay,
right.
Sure. Yeah. Let's see. There is Dreidel.
Yeah, audience member said it. Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, but you said obvious one, so I was trying to go not obvious. Obviously, there's Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, did you just say Dreidel?
Yeah, everyone's favorite superhero.
Fuck you. Oh, my God. Well, all right, let's get this anti-Semitic show on the road. Jesus Christ, Pete, I never knew we were doing this show for 12 years. Very excited about the guests that we have on the show. Kwanza Ojabasi. Ah, God damn it.
Yeah.
I messed it up. All right, the creators are black, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Come on out.
Yeah, welcome to the show, gentlemen. Have a seat, have a microphone. And a seat.
Oh, God damn it. I psyched myself out, Kwanza.
It happened. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Very excited to have you back on the show. I was missing the last time you guys were here, way back at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that was when the book first came out, and we had Kari here the last time, and then you were here, and now he's not here, and now you're back. So
you've never seen us in the same place at the same time.
Whoa.
I'm here.
Yeah, welcome back.
I'm very excited to talk about the book. So it just came out in trade November 14th, mid-November,
yep.
I think, right? Mm-hmm. And you have a bunch of stuff coming up. But let's take a step back. For those who weren't here the last time or didn't listen to the last show, which, why didn't you do that? What's the idea of Black? What's the pitch behind Black?
So the premise of Black is, what if only black people had superpowers? That's kind of the tagline that we launched with and that... I think pretty much sums up the idea of it. You know? I've been told it's like one of the best taglines you could have ever written for a book because you immediately get the idea. It's like a good elevator pitch. But in terms of like the story, it's about this young man named Kareem Jenkins who, after being stopped by the cops, falsely identified, is shot to death and then comes back to life and learns that he, as well as like a small percentage of black people, have superpowers, and that this has kind of been going on for like centuries, and gets brought into like, you know, kind of the clandestine group who's trying to help keep it a secret, as well as like fighting against like other clandestine forces and stuff like that, and essentially just trying to keep this powder keg from exploding. Because when you think about a concept like that in terms of like especially our society now, something like that could be like particularly incendiary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, when you sat down to come up with the idea, or, you know, were walking along and came up with the idea, did you feel like, was there a specific need that it was filling? Was there a niche that was missing? Or was it just this idea, this tagline came to you and you ran with it?
No, it was sort of a culmination of working in the comics industry for like 10 years and kind of realizing that there was like just this dearth of like black characters that kind of came from a perspective that I thought was really authentic. But also the characters that had a little bit more dimension to them. So I don't think people think about that very often when they look at all of the different comic book characters that are out there. But from somebody who's a person of color, you look at like Jon Stewart, Cyborg, and then try to ask yourself, so what's their defining personality trait? Like, it's kind of like, you know, there is none really. Even with more notable characters like Storm, you have like a very small, you know, handful of characters that are really like fleshed out like Black Panther, who, you know, really are these engaging characters. And we wanted to create more of them. So we wanted to create this whole cast, this whole world of characters who represented all these different aspects of the black culture.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I want to add to that exactly what Kwanza just said, but these are like mainstream companies. These are mainstream characters. These are the characters that everyone's been reading for years and years and years. So you have this, you have one idea of the character, but you have all these creators that have come along and added their stink to the character or success to the character. So when the character may have started off one way, they may end in a whole different way before another creative team or another editor or another era of storytelling comes in and alters it. When Kwanzaa and I got together to do this, and he told me about the idea, here's a project where two people could solely like start putting something together and creating something, and it definitely would have meaning, like everlasting.
When you guys were sitting down to come up with this idea, this is going to be a little bit rambling for a second, but I work full-time doing entertainment journalism. That's my regular gig. And we were the other day in the office talking a little bit about the Black Lightning show that's coming out in January on the CW. And something that came up in the conversation is with that and also with Luke Cage, often when you have superheroes of color, they have to be, that's the definitive statement because, right. like, that's the one TV show. And it sounds like kind of that's what you're responding to here with this book a little bit. Is that right? Or
somewhat. And, I mean, that was kind of, like, why we ended up... We had a number of different names for the title, but that's kind of why we named it Black, because of all those characters that used to have that moniker before whatever else they were. They're like Black Lightning, Black Goliath, Black this, and we're just like, well, it's just Black. There is no other noun. Yeah, this is what it. This is what this is.
Yeah. For those who haven't read the book, I mean, you touched on this a little bit, but there's this hugely expansive mythology behind it and all of these characters that you throw into the first volume. How'd you guys craft that? How did you approach that aspect of the book?
Oh, geez, I'm glad Jamal's not here right now, actually. Like, we essentially just kind of, you know, went full on like character Bible on this. And like, you know, we came up with like the main protagonist, Kareem, and his mentor, Juncture, and then just kind of started building this cast around it. So, you know, we don't really consider like Theodore Mann the antagonist. He's just a counter to like what's going on there. He just represents like a sort of like ideology or a certain like, you know, like aspect of it. And then there's O, who's another antagonist. So we have like two antagonists in a story who are also enemies. So it's kind of like a three-way, which is probably horrible phrasing for like a comic book character.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
I mean, that's kind of...
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
I was gonna say when you think about it, you have every culture and every person has like different sides, right? To their who they are, and to come up with so many characters, it just had to be done to have different angles tell this one story, different attitudes and different takes of what a person would do with the ability that they can possess.
And that was kind of part of the mission too. Is just like, we didn't want, these characters weren't fulfilling a role on like some other team. They're representing all of the different aspects of a culture. So you've got these different walks of life where people have, you know, like Juncture's somewhat of a pacifist. Like, he's already been to war. He's already seen things. And so he's kind of looking at this from like, you young kids don't really know what you're getting yourselves into being radicals. This is not going to end the way you want, you know? I kind of think of him almost like, and I haven't seen it yet, but how Luke Skywalker is in like Last Jedi. Like, he's kind of got that attitude of like, chill it out, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
No spoilers.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
But still, no spoilers.
But then you have all these other characters who represent different religions, different backgrounds, and they're all, you know, people of African descent. And that's kind of the point of it, because when you look at like all the other superhero characters out there, they just represent this big, wide breadth of like personalities and stuff. And like, there's not enough characters of color like that, to the point where you can just say like, oh yeah, like he's the smarmy one.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like,
yeah, it's nice. One of the nice things about this book, I really I like the first go around. I'm looking excited for more that's coming out. But the complexity of the characters is very important, because in comics, you know, it's hard to show the other sides of the character all the time. You only have so many panels and so many ideas. But I think one of the nice things about your first go with Black is definitely showing the different sides to all the different characters, which is great, because you don't want just a it's hard to fall in love or hate or relate to somebody that's just got one idea, you know?
Like if there was a guy who was just driven by vengeance and all he wanted to do was just like kill criminals and punish them and that was it.
Oh, no, that seems like very complex. It seems very nuanced. It seems like there's a lot to that person.
Well, no, I mean, the difference could be is like, does he use guns or does he use boomerangs?
Exactly.
Is he boomerang revenge or gun revenge?
Yeah, it could be either way.
It's still the world of comic books, you know, so you got to wear tights, right? I mean, you got people. We put people in a jacket and pants, and you may see somebody with the underwear on the outside.
Oh, that's another differentiator. It's like, do you wear tights with your revenge? No.
Yeah, where's your underwear?
You got to be comfortable in a pair of Hanes.
So since it has been a year on since the last time we had you guys on the show, what has the response been like? How have things grown?
The response, like, I mean, from the launch of the Kickstarter on, it's just been kind of a whirlwind, and it's been mostly positive. I think that's been kind of one of the interesting things, because two things I think we thought when we were first doing this was, like, one, we didn't think it was going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, we really thought it was like, oh, we're going to do a Kickstarter. Yay, it's going to be like every other Kickstarter. But then we, like, you know, went three times over our goal.
Yeah, you blew it out of the water, man.
Had no game plan for that. It's just kind of like, oh, crap, I guess extra rewards. And then everything that sort of came after that, like linking up with like Black Mask and then eventually like Studio 8 for the like movie option, just kind of a lot of people just like knocking on our doors and, you know, distracting us from making comics. but in a great way, you know, in a way that like really energized us. And then, of course, I mean, when you're doing a concept like this, there's going to be like the naysayers and a bit of controversy around it. But that was sort of expected. I mean, one of the biggest things I've always thought about Black is that it's kind of whatever you bring to it. It's like, we're going to write a story, and however you take that is how you take that. Like, I can't really color this for you, which is also why we made it in gray tones.
It's sort of a metaphor for that.
If people are reading it and they get jazzed enough to like moan about it, then you're doing something right. Yeah. You know, like if they're reading and like, oh, that was great. And they flip it right over their shoulder and right into the trash, you know, without even batting an eye to go back in and look at it and talk about it.
People do that with comics?
I don't know.
I've been saving all of mine.
I don't know. I've heard, like, I'm sure there's people out there who treat them like Kruger machines. They, like, throw them out the window or whatever.
With this one.
Yeah, I saw a guy, like, buy, like, a $6 comic book, and then he folded it up, like, origami and put it in his back pocket. I was like, okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, there's nothing. Did you arrest him on the spot?
You know, but he kept it. He could have recycled it. He could have chewed it, but he kept it.
So you have a couple of other things going on in the world of Black. I mean, we blew by the movie thing a little bit, which is crazy. So what can you tell us about that, if anything?
I mean, it's just been really interesting. Like, Studio 8 has been, like, really awesome and great partners. They're, like, super excited about doing this. And that was one of the things that, you know, through this entire process, working with, like, Black Mask and anybody who approaches is, like, we really wanted to work with people who kind of got it and were excited about it. I mean, we definitely had offers from other places, and it was always this sort of, like, right, but do you get it? Like, I mean, we're not going to, like, option this off, and then the next thing you know, you tell us, like, all right, so Kareem is going to be a white guy. And you're like, what?
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, crazier stories have probably been told in Hollywood. So it was one of those things where you really wanted to work with somebody who wanted to make it. Like, that was kind of our thing. It's like, if you really want to make this, then we're all in. And they've been awesome. So, you know, we've been talking with them and, you know, writers and directors, which is all exciting and very weird. Very weird, that's about all I can say.
Well, I don't know if you can say this then, but when you're taking these meetings, do the writers and directors, they come in with a pitch for your work to you?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. There's like a bit of variety to it. Like, some people want to talk to us, some people don't, some people just want to go at it, you know, with their own vision, and it's very interesting in either way. Mm-hmm. And there's been a couple where I'm just kind of like, I wish I had written that. Like, you know, it's just like, that's really good. It's like, but I guess that's why you're a movie person, you know?
Yeah, but you can only do so much in a 20-page, 22-page comic book. I mean, any more words or pictures into it, it could lose what we put in there and what we set out to do.
Then it becomes a novel.
Yeah, right? And then he'd still be like, you know, writing it, because it'd be like 1,000 pages, right? But it'd be awesome. But at the same time, we have to wrap it up. You have to get it out there. And when someone else comes in, takes those words and take those characters and the plot and kind of alters it, it's good to hear that take. It's interesting to hear that take on it. And you kind of want to sit back and let them cook.
Yeah.
But you can't help but to peep in and say, hey, put a little salt in it. You know?
I try not to. I mean, my take on it with everything, it's like, I would like them to just go Kubrick on it, like go Shining. Because that's one of my favorite films, and it's something that I personally think, no offense to Stephen King, is actually very true to what he wrote. It just cuts away all the fat, you know? Yeah. And that's what makes it a great film. Like, it's very direct, and it's very clear in its vision, and if somebody did that with Black, I'd be completely happy with that and the check.
Cool. So we should just get Stanley Kubrick to do it. I'm sure he's not busy right now. Like, he's not really doing anything.
If that happened, like, I would...
I mean, he's a skeleton. Sorry, is that too dark? That's a little dark. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to something else that you're working on. You are also writing a novel, right?
I mean, it's a YA novel. It's sort of a follow-up to Black. So Black was originally planned to be a trilogy, and it still is. Like, there's three main books. I kind of always say it's very much, you know, New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Like, nice. Those are the pillars of the story. But we're now working on stories in between, and the first one is called Black AF. That's the interstitial series. The first one's called America's Sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And it's a YA one-shot 80-page book, and it's all about this young girl who is the most powerful person on Earth. And she is dealing with sort of the aftermath of what happens in Black. So I don't want to spoil it if anybody, you know, has everybody read it here? Raise your hands if nobody's read it, then I'm not going to spoil it then. Okay. But the aftermath of it, she's sort of dealing with that and, you know, deciding to become essentially the world's first superhero in a world where only Black people have superpowers. And, you know, think about that happening today and, like, what could possibly happen to a young idealistic girl in a patriotic costume trying to be a good person, you know, trying to save people and still dealing with, like, our world not quite being up to her, you know, altruism.
Yeah. Plus this one is Black was done in grayscale, and we did that for a reason. This one is done in color.
Oh, yeah, all full color.
Oh, okay.
And we did that for a reason as well. So it's everything's pretty thought out. To the best of our ability, to get out there.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else coming up that you guys want to plug, that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, after America's Sweetheart, we're working on books in between her. So Black AF is going to kind of become like our brand stamp between the big pillar books. So that's kind of, you know, what the remaining title is going to be. It'll be Black AF and some fun subtitle dealing with all sorts of, you know, themes and stuff. So we're working on one. I'll give them a little bit of a hint.
Yeah, go for it, man.
It has to do with ninjas and human trafficking. Oh. So that's kind of something that we're going to be exploring in the next story.
All right, cool. Very cool. Awesome. And where can people check it out? Anywhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely buy Black, the graphic novel, on Amazon or through our publisher, Black Mass Studios. Or if that's too difficult, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, all those places, Comixology. Is another place if you don't like paper. I totally understand that. Like,
but you got to smell it. You get a book, you got to smell it. That's what I
don't know how you read.
I lock myself in a closet when I do. Cool. No one knows.
I sat with Grant Morrison, and he said he reads his comics while sitting in a tub. So,
really?
Yeah, well, he's Grant Morrison. I mean,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Of course, that's sexy.
Here's the thing:
if you don't get them in paper, you can't get that satisfying throwing them over your shoulder movement. You can't do that with an iPad.
Yeah, no,
too expensive. All right, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah!
And in The Stack, we're going to very quickly talk about a couple of books that came out this week, starting with Batman number 36 from DC Comics. Yeah. Pete, you were very excited to talk about this book. What's going on?
Yeah, well, what's nice is what I'm liking right now about the kind of big event going on in Batman, where Batman's getting married, is a lot of feelings, a lot of, like, talking about other people in the book. Normally, Batman and Superman are just fighting, but this, you hear Superman talk.
Not usually. I mean, there was that one movie, but other than that, for the most part, they're friends, right?
Yeah. Anyways, I meant, like, fighting alongside, you know, for the same cause, not like
Each other. Oh, fighting other people, not
each other. Yeah, fighting the bad guys.
Got it. Not V-ing each other.
Yeah. No. I don't want to talk about that ever again. What's nice is you get to see Superman talking about Batman and vice versa. And I thought this was very touching and very cool. Just kind of like a sweet moment in between crazy arcs and crazy fighting that, like, hearing Superman talk about Batman in such a way was very touching to me, and also vice versa, like the way they look at each other, the way they talk about the things that they've been through. I thought it was very cool, and it was like the first time that I really saw that, and I just was like, oh man, this is a really special issue. And
Wait, so would you buy a comic if it was like 64 pages of Batman on his honeymoon in a tub? And drinking.
See, when you say it like that, it sounds
awful.
A whole
book on that. No, just. No,
I normally like to buy a book and I want to just see fighting from page to page and all action. But the fact that, like, this happened. I mean, if you would have told me that's what it was going to be, I might not have bought it, but I really liked it.
All right.
And I just thought it was done
you,
in
you
a way.
You found something in yourself that worked. It, yeah, it came out in a comic book.
I don't know what it was, but I was like, hey, man, this is kind
of
cool.
All right.
So the trick to getting you to buy any comic is the first 5 pages, fight scene. And then the rest of it could be like insane hot garbage.
Yeah. Well, that's usually what Pete's like. So I'm actually pretty surprised that you like this book because it really is a lot of talking about feeling.
I just want to make sure we're not calling me hot garbage right now. That's off the table.
Oh, no.
Because garbage, I don't think I'm hot, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
But yeah, this is, it's a weird like for me. But yeah, what did you think of this?
I really liked it a lot, too. I think Tom King, who's the writer, did a great job of switching up the paradigm a little bit, because we usually get, you know, the narration from Batman being like, I'm Dark Vengeance, and Superman being like, I'm good. But here we get them talking about each other, and you get a sense of what they think about themselves and what they think about the other person in a very new and surprisingly fresh way.
Yeah.
It's also Batman is talking to Catwoman, who's like, you have to talk to Superman. You're getting married. He's your best friend. Yeah. And Lois Lane is like, Superman, you have to talk to Batman. He's your best friend. Come on, talk to each other. And they end up at the end as a setup for a double date that they're going to go on, which is pretty cute. So I'm excited.
Pretty dope.
I like your voice for Superman. That was pretty. What's your voice for Catwoman?
I'm Catwoman.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
I'm terrible at voices.
It's like Dr. Husband or whatever.
Yeah, Dr. Girlfriend.
Dr. Girlfriend. Yeah,
there you go. All right, let's move on with this one. This is another big issue. Walking Dead, number 174 from Image Comics. Again, Pete, you were very psyched up about this issue, and it was another issue where people are just talking about their feelings.
Now, this this was a long time coming.
Yes.
This, all right, so Maggie had to witness her man get beaten to death in front of her.
This is way back in Walking Dead 100.
Yeah, so
74 issues
ago. 74 issues ago. I don't know how many years that is in comic books.
Probably 50.
But she's finally face-to-face with Negan after all that, and it was a huge moment, and I was like, Maggie, get it, Maggie. And then Maggie was like, you know what, you're sad now, and your life blows, so that's your punishment. And I was kind of pissed about it. I was like, fuck you, Maggie, at least shoot him or something. Like, stab him, take his kneecaps out, pull out an eyeball, like, come on.
Wow.
You've thought about
Glenn.
This a lot.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. Because it's Walking Dead as well. I was like, shoot his wiener off. Do something. Something. Like, this is Walking Dead. Like, Carl gets to walk around with a gaping hole in his face. Uh-huh. And this guy gets to make his, like, new bat. Like, it's ridiculous.
I will say, on the merits of this issue, I like this issue a lot. You know, Robert Kirkman, when he really goes all in on a talking issue where two characters are just hashing it out, he excels. You know, the back and forth.
He's a hell of a writer.
Yeah, he's a very good writer. I really feel like he's going to go places and do good things. This Walking Dead thing really could be something.
No.
Yeah, maybe for like 7 seasons and then not past
that. I would watch that.
Yeah.
TV show.
He has this weird blind spot for Negan. So for those of you who haven't read the book or watched the show or
Negan should be long dead by now.
Sure. So he was introduced as a villain. He comes in, kills one of the most beloved characters in the book. Glenn proceeds to kill many more beloved characters, curses up a storm, is basically irredeemable. And then they've spent, I want to say, approximately the last 40 issues working very hard on the redemption of Negan.
Yep.
And it's weird. I mean, I understand the impulse there and the idea of taking a character who is irredeemable and figuring out how to get to that place where you feel bad for them or excited for them or joy for them is a really interesting experiment. But The Walking Dead is one of those comic books that sucks your emotions in, that gets you totally into it. And I don't feel like we can ever forgive him for the death of Glenn. If you had been reading the comic book, I think a lot of folks feel that same way. So getting to this point, it is a bit of bummer for Maggie to pull the old, the worst thing I can think of you is for you to stay alive. Yeah. That's my Maggie voice.
I was going to say, that was great. You had me right there.
So that's a bit of a bummer, but as an issue by itself, it's well done, it's well drawn, it's well put together.
I mean, he could have popped his eardrums.
No, you're not into it.
No, I mean, on its own, it's kind of a trope. Yeah. You know, where it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, he wants you to kill him and you don't, because
like,
that's the worst thing you could do.
Do it.
But what I think has been interesting is that in a book where everybody is constantly dying, to have one of the most loathsome people strain all of us for like 74 issues of like, really, we got to watch you redeem this guy? Really? That's what we got to do? To the extent where it's actually kind of excruciating and you're even saying like, yeah, God, shoot him. Like, for real. Because like something bad happened to this person. If it never does and he ends up being the last person alive in a book, I think it'll be a satisfying run.
What, dude?
Just because he's level of annoying.
No. Would it even matter?
Come on.
Well, here's why. Because that's not what's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, think of him almost like Donald Trump. It's like, that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Like, that's not supposed to happen.
You made it too real. You made it too real.
I made the zombie apocalypse really, too real.
Yes. That is really an interesting idea, though. I mean, everybody kind of figures that the book will end with, like, Carl growing up and being big and leading us, everybody, into a bright new future. But to have the guy who is the cockroach, the guy who is constantly surviving, actually survive to the end, like, makes a lot more sense for the book. Also, it would be super sad, which would be totally in line with The Walking Dead.
Exactly. So,
there you go. All right, let's move on with
I hope you guys just didn't ruin that book for me. I really hope that doesn't happen.
Because
if that's the way it ends, I'm going to be pissed at both of you guys.
If it was, if that was really true, like Robert Kirkman, my phone would be ringing right now. I'm like, what the are you doing, dude?
Yeah, if that does happen, the perfect revenge would be to let us live.
No way.
All right, Paper Girls number 18. That's our last pick. Pete, again, woo-hoo! You want to talk about this one? You've been a big fan of this series for a while.
Paper Girl is fantastic. Absolutely amazing book. And one of the things that we can't talk enough about is the art. When you're making big choices like this book does, the art has to suck you into this world that it's creating, and it does an amazing job. And Image does a great job of like setting up these worlds, also with like pages before the pages, and then just the little note that's like from Best Buy way back in the day. It's like, don't forget to turn your computer off. For $19.99, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just like this, oh, shit, kind of thing. And in this, we have like a post-future where computers have gone crazy and like
there's
time
travel.
Yeah, I mean,
this takes place right before Y2K. A bunch of paper girls have been sent through time to what for them is the future.
We should say paper girls, that means... girls who have a paper route.
Right. Now, they're not made out of paper, though. Right. Technically, they're made out of paper because...
They're in a comic book?
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa.
See, you guys are getting
I've never
meta?
Read it at all. So, like,
but
for
Brian
me, you're telling me...
What?
How do you get into it? Like, just like if you could quickly tell me, like, what's the premise of this whole thing?
Oh, this will be good. Go.
Because it looks like it's really... What you just said, like, I could not follow any of it.
So a bunch of, what year are they from, Pete?
It was in the 80s.
A bunch of girls on who have a paper route together on the 80s get sent to right before Y2K, and there's battling robots. I can't describe it. I'm sorry.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't,
wait.
Oh, you mean like newspapers? Like they deliver, like they throw them from their bike, like that paperboy game? Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. But here, that's exactly why I like it, and it's why I keep reading it, because it is, I'm still trying to figure out what's going on, and it's not in a bad way. It's not in a rambling way. It's literally in a like, okay, at some point where I'm going to figure this out, right? Like at some point. And Brian is such a like great writer that he can just keep stringing you in these interesting ways that keep bobbing and weaving to the extent where it's like, I'm not pissed off, I'm not annoyed, but I am very much just like, he's going to save this until, like, the last issue or something, isn't it? And that's when the reveal
is
going to be
there. So this is one of the things that I think Brian K. Vaughan does amazingly as a writer is he kind of stands back and lets his artists do a lot of the work. And here you got Cliff Chiang on art, who is an all-time great. And it's a gorgeous book, absolutely.
The best run on Wonder Woman ever.
Yes.
Hands
really?
Down. Yeah. That's my favorite Wonder Woman. In fact, I'll go so far as
to
say
it's
the
on
only
one.
Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Everything else has been trash.
I loved his art on Wonder Woman. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like Greg Rucka's run. I'm going to throw that out there.
Yeah, it could be number two on somebody's
list.
That's fair. Not mine.
I mean, based on art, I'll agree with you. Just he drew the best Wonder Woman of all time. I agree
with that.
All right. We have a concordance. So I think we can move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm going to come out to you guys. All you have to do is raise your hand, ask a question about... for our amazing guests, about comic books, about anything, and you'll get some free comics courtesy of Pete LePage.
Yeah, also, so, you get the first six chapters of Black.
Yeah.
Yes. For every question.
Nice. All right, so raise your hand. Absolutely anybody about absolutely anything. Yes, you, sir. What's your name? What's your question?
Kevin, I'd love to do the Black movie, but I want to set it all on a submarine.
Interesting.
Well, since it's the first day of Hanukkah, what are some of your favorite holiday-themed comics?
Ooh, I'll take this one. I'll take this one.
Okay, is this going to be anti-Semitic again, Pete?
Yep. Yeah. Okay, good. Punisher Xmas. It was a Punisher issue where he saved Christmas. And
how did he save Christmas?
Because he shot all the bad people. That's how you save Christmas. It was a very, very touching, amazing issue.
Great. What about you guys?
I'm trying to like think back on holiday issues. The only one I can think of is it was a thing. The thing went around and oh, he's on the street, and I think it was a kid involved. Yeah, I know he's Jewish.
What, he from Yancey Street?
He was probably walking down. He bought a hot dog or something. That was great. It was so awesome. I remember it vividly. I just can't express the words for it right now.
Ben Grimm, another Jewish comic book character. Kwanzaa, what about you?
I don't think I have one, but just hearing this, I realize there's never been a Kwanzaa comic as a holiday comic. We're going to do that.
Yes.
Ooh, nice.
All right.
Holiday special.
There we go.
Kwanzaa edition.
Nice.
Love it.
Can I be a part of that?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
Cool. We get 10%, I mean, because we're
on the show. Of course.
The only one that's coming to mind right now, there was a book called Batman Silent Night by, I think it was Lee Bermejo did it.
Oh, yes.
And that was pretty gorgeous. I don't actually remember too much of the story, but I remember the book itself being beautiful. So there you go. That's the answer to your question. You get some free comics. Absolutely. Anybody else? Any questions about anything? You, sir, come on down over here. It is question time, and we're going to give an answer. And your name is?
Pablo.
Hi, Pablo.
Hello, Pete. Hello, Alex. Hello to you guys.
Hello.
By the way, great book.
Thank you.
And my question to you, my question is this. What is the most respected superhero that you appreciate? It doesn't matter what color it is.
What a superhero do you appreciate the most?
Or what about what's the one that you respect the most? That you look at? That you look up to the most? What superhero?
I got to take that back to like when I was a kid because it's hard to do that as an adult. I haven't really seen motivating characters. That I can like say that's I gotta wear those cape underwear pants things, you know what I mean? So as a kid, as a really young kid, I did like Black Panther a lot. I read a book called Alien Legion. I don't know if they were superheroes or not. It came out with Epic, I believe, but they were a bunch of like space cops, basically like mercenary military kind of people. I enjoyed all those characters. I felt like that was a really serious story. There's a lot of nudity in it. My dad let me read it. So for me, I was like, oh, this is awesome.
So why do you really like it?
I can look at boobs. I enjoyed it because it was like this, even as a kid, I understood that it was one of those dark hero moments where it's like my first real involvement in what a dark hero was. And I think it was a character named Grimm something. He was gritty, but he had this soft side to him. He kind of hated what he did, but at the same time, he did it because he actually enjoyed it, but he did it for a job, and he found love in it. And for me, I was reading that, and it introduced an entire different perspective. And I looked up to not only the character but the creation of it. And I was a kid; and it kind of opened a lot of doors to me for comics.
Oh wow, cool man!
Nice, Kwanzaa. What about you? You got an all right?
Yeah, that was kind of a tough one. I mean, I think the one that like really sort of opened up comics for me and like say like respect it was like Static. Because that was, like, the first character, even though I had been a comics fan longer than that, like, that was the first one that just sort of, like, did two things. One, he reflected me. It was like, he's black and nerdy. Yay! He's a superhero. Awesome! But also just the creation of him very much had that ethos of Milestone where it's just, like, we're trying to create, like, diverse characters that represent a lot of different perspectives and cultures. But that one was, for me, was just kind of like, yeah, he's like, just a cool kid who's like struggling in the same way that like Peter Parker did, you know, and it was really classic. But I think that was me for me, Static.
Pete, you got him on?
Yeah, I'm going to say, for me, like, as a kid, reading comics was very important because it did, you know, different perspectives, different ways of looking at things were very important. And I remember my parents were trying to teach me the right and wrong, and that was not going well. But when I read Wonder Woman and I learned about the lasso of truth and how powerful truth is, and I actually had a very interesting conversation with my dad about telling the truth and lying, because I was like, listen, I know the Santa thing is a hoax, and you talk to me about telling the truth to you all the time, but you lie to me, so I don't feel right having to always tell you the truth if you don't tell me the truth. And it was like this whole thing. That we eventually came to a common ground on.
That is so amazingly amazing. Seriously, like, wow.
It was, well, your story was made me think about it, and I was like, holy shit, Wonder Woman helped me and my dad become closer.
That's awesome.
Pete, that's amazing.
I'm just trying to get into your dad's head right now with, like, little you going, like, this son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, my dad was probably like, this motherfucker.
So what's up with the Easter Bunny, huh? What's going on with that guy?
Tooth Fairy, it's all a lie.
I do not even remotely have as good of an answer as any of those. Just Spider-Man, probably. I mean, growing up, it was just the idea that Spider-Man just kept fighting and that he actually got the shit beat out of him all the time, and he would have the tuft of hair coming through his mask, but he kept trying to do the right thing and trying to help people as much as he can. That always impressed itself.
Yeah, those 1960s Spider-Man stories are the best.
They're great.
Downright, you can always read them. Classic material.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right, great question. I think we could take one more question. This can be about literally anything. Comic books, movies, TV shows.
Yes, there we go.
Right up there. Come on down. Well, let me see how far I can stretch this. All right, here we go. Okay, we can meet in the middle. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Tara, and I'm here to ask everybody who their favorite voice actors are. And in thinking about Black and possibly like a feature movie animation or a television animated show.
That would be awesome.
Maybe some voice choices that you might have, dreams. Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Oh, cool. Great question. Who's your favorite voice talent, voice actors? I feel like, Pete, you're probably going to say Kevin Conroy?
Yeah, Kevin Conroy for sure. And also, you know, Luke Skywalker as the Joker, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Ah, you took my answer. I got nothing now.
I mean, just to stay on that for a minute, how crazy is it that Mark Hamill has become one of the best voice actors and one of the best Jokers, if not the best Joker ever? That's nuts.
I think it's great because it's like here we have this person who is like iconic for something that could, you know, possibly have just been like, you know, a cult film or like a nerd film. Mm-hmm. Not only extend that out, but then also redefine himself as something equally as beloved. It's like, you're Luke Skywalker and the Joker. It's kind of amazing to like do that.
Yeah. You were going
to
say?
I try to play as many video games as I can, and I do watch a lot of anime, but I don't know names. So I like Goku. The Japanese voice for Goku. It's just high pitch, and it's a woman who does it, so I think that's awesome. And The Last of Us, which is a fantastic game and a fantastic story, will make you shed a tear, and not a lot of games do that. I like the voice acting for that main character, and Metal Gear. I like Snake's voice.
Cool. That's Kevin Connery, right?
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah, it's Batman.
Really?
Kevin Conroy rules all answers.
He does. And if you guys could get some voice talent for an animated version of Black, who would be on the roster?
I think that gets tough because, like, nowadays, like, you know, most of it are actors and stuff, so I don't really know necessarily. But I'm forgetting his name right now, but I really like the young man on Stranger Things. I think he'd make an excellent Caleb Kareem McLaughlin in the film. But would probably also be a great voice actor because he speaks very clearly and like you can like hear his voice in like in an animation because they kind of overdo it a little bit in animation. They overpronounce things.
Yeah, he's great. Cool. Yeah. Great question. And I think that's it for your audience questions. Yeah. All right, guys. We are going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. Damn you. All right.
Damn me.
Yeah, damn you. I wanted to talk about some things that we can geek, but all right.
Real quick, what did you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about the crossover, man. The crossover.
That was weeks
between
ago.
Between Arrow, Flash,
ago. We don't
Legends.
Have time. That was weeks ago.
Let me just simply ask you, did you enjoy it?
It was the best comic book movie I've ever seen.
Right? It was amazing.
We're not talking. No time. Go on to the
It was absolutely
trivia.
Phenomenal.
Wait, Pete, did you want to talk about Punisher's getting a second season?
That's also amazing.
No time. Come on. Trivia.
All right. This part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had $25, you'd go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand.
If it's your first time at the show, you
yes,
have
you
to walk
first
on stage.
Hand up, lady. Come on down.
All right.
Yes.
Come on down. Come on down.
Come
you
on
can
down.
Do it.
Come
down
the down. Stairs.
Yeah, she's got to work her way through
walk,
the
walk,
giant
all right, come
audience.
Over here.
Yeah.
Come over here. Okay. Come stand. You're doing great.
Remind us of your name again.
My name is Tara.
Tara, audience Tara. You're gonna be rooting for her. All right, how this is gonna work is I'm gonna read you a question, listen to all three possible answers. And as long as you know everything about their comic, you're fine. So today's trivia is
wait, does she get a lifeline at least?
No, she does okay. not. She does not.
What about your comic?
And she will not need it.
Good luck.
Okay, yeah. So today's trivia is on America's Sweetheart. The most anticipated comic that we are all looking forward to.
Okay.
In the new title from Black Mask, who is the most powerful person on the planet? Is it A, a 15-year-old girl?
Yes.
Or is it B, a 17-year-old girl? Or is it C, a really jacked 55-year-old YouTube sensation?
Ew, no, it's the A.
A is correct.
Okay. Woo, good job.
I got weird on the last one. What happened? Yeah, it was. All right, here we go. Eli is the name of the amazing girl who is 15 years old.
It's Ellie.
Oh, that probably makes
spelled
more
like
sense.
Spelled like Eli.
Yeah, it makes more sense. Ellie debuts as superhero blank. What is going to be her superhero name? Is it A, badass, B, good girl, or is it C, equal opportunity person, like, you know, she's not really into labels, whatever. So it's either A if you want to be incorrect, or B if you want to be correct and win $25 free.
I would love to pick B.
All right, B is correct. Yes, good girl is the name of her superhero name.
It's not out or it is out?
It's coming out January 31st.
Okay. Yeah, which was another nice tie-in plug. Great, here we go. Last question, and I just want you to be honest with me.
Okay.
Have you watched the Punisher series on Netflix yet?
I did, yes.
What'd you think?
I actually really enjoyed myself.
Yes!
I didn't love it. I didn't love it to death, but I really effing enjoyed it.
Yeah! Woo! Thank you. $25 free is yours. Congratulations.
Again, Pete, at some point, we're going to have to sit down and talk about what trivia is.
Yeah, well, I know what it is, but that doesn't mean I have to follow that. You know what I mean?
I mean, the section's called trivia.
Yeah, that's right. That's what the section is called. You know, yeah. And I don't like living under the section
all right,
that you've allotted
to me. I don't live by labels. That's totally cool.
Yeah.
Guys, before we head off, what stuff do you want to plug again? Anything else?
I'll just plug again the date for America's Sweetheart. It's coming out on January 31st. And
yeah.
There'll be more Black AF titles following behind that.
Woohoo!
All right.
Oh, and that people who are receiving the Kickstarter will be getting a sneak peek.
I was just going to say that.
Of the chapter 2 book.
Nice.
So,
and to everyone listening, to all our pledgers, who thank you very much for pledging to the Kickstarter. Those books are going out.
Yeah. He's got the paper cuts, like literally.
Yes, this is true. Before the show, we couldn't shake his hand because he's covered in paper cuts. It's so sad.
Dripping with blood and tears of joy to get these books to their homes.
That's a cool one. It comes with a little bit of Tim Smith.
That's
blood.
Right. A little DNA. little DNA right there.
I mean, I think that's illegal, but all right. Yeah, whatever you guys want to do. All good. All right, a couple of things before we go. Next week is going to be our big holiday spectacular last Woo-hoo! Show of the year. Woo! We're going to have the two creators of Marley's Ghost are going to be here, and also writer Daniel Kibblesmith, who we've had on before. He's launching Quantum and Woody from Valiant, and also had a book just come out called Santa's Husband. which is awesome and hilarious that you definitely have to check out. So that should be a lot of fun. Maybe we'll have some eggnog. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Oh, man.
Oh, gonna go nuts.
Yeah, that sounds good.
If you like this show, or even if you don't, let's be honest, it does cost us a little bit of money to do. If you're here physically in the theater, if you would like to throw a couple of bucks in the hat over there, that would be great. Or online, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Check us out on Twitter @comicbooklive and our website, comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dower, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Kwanzaa and Tim for being on the show.
Woo! Thanks, guys.
Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out. Really appreciate it.